Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So we said the biggest fear that the Red Sox had is Bruins season ends and suddenly everybody is going to pay attention. Listen,
if the games are that quick and it happens that fast and the pitching is great nice like one. That, then yes, I am dialed in. That is the way a game should be.
You didn't like the 4.5 hour game the other day?
It's a nightmare. Now, I will say this, though. I think they're extremely lucky. When that eighth inning came around and Colton Brewer came up and then
nervous?
he had a single and a walk or something like that. I don't know what the hell was going on. They only had a one-run lead. There was no outs. I was like, they are going to screw this up and we're going to be right back where we were a week ago.
Agreed.
Bullpen issues, bullpen by committee, core trying to, act like there's nothing to see here. Yet they found a way to win that game instead of finding a way to lose it, which Cora has said in the past also, which I think is important overall, big picture. But I don't believe Christian Vasquez, they figured it out and they're back.
No, Vasquez, after they swept Baltimore, we're back. It's like, I just have to go back a week prior. They swept Kansas City.
Right.
And then they came out and they lost 3 or 4 to Tampa and lost the first two to Texas. They lost, whatever it was, 4 or 5 or 5 or 6. Coming out of a sweep of Kansas City. So why the hell am I going to buy that? Now, last night was a big win. That was a big boy W. That's a very good team with a very good lineup and one of the better pitchers in the American League on the mound that you beat, even though it was one run.
Yep.
But still, that was a huge game. I'm with you. That had bad loss written all over it, especially when I saw Colton Brewer get up in the eighth and then saw Brazier getting up in the ninth. I was like, wow.
Either Brazier one of these guys actually was 1-2-3.
Well, he hadn't pitched in a while. So he'd been away in bereavement, so he hadn't pitched in a while. Yeah, but I'm still not buying into the bullpen. I don't see how you can. I mean, they've got to get help in that bullpen. And you said it earlier, Lou, it might be two arms, not just one. But I think they need one significant arm. And then you can maybe use Barnes with this other guy in the eighth and ninth inning. So they got an easy schedule coming up. Well, these three games are difficult. So they won the first one. Let's see if they can take 2 out of 3. And then the schedule leading up to the All-Star break, other than the two games overseas against the Yankees, are all winnable games.
I tell you what, at the All-Star break, this team is going to be right there, top of the division. Game out or so.
Yeah, I'm not sure, though. Even with good teams, I'm not sure that the Yankees are going to falter. I think they just went through their little tailspin here recently.
Well, I'm just saying, because the Red Sox, again, they got these two with Minnesota. They got a great matchup tonight, Price versus Pineda. And then it's Toronto-Chicago, two with the Yankees, Toronto-Detroit. That's what you have before the break. Meanwhile, the Yankees are playing Tampa now. They got 4 with Houston. Then they play Toronto, 2 with you, and they finish up with 4 against Tampa. Tampa's starting like a 10-day road trip. They got to go to Oakland after this Yankee trip. Then they got to go to Minnesota. Then they got to come home and play Texas. And then 4 with Boston, New York before the break. Like, if the Red Sox take care of business against crappy teams, and by taking care of business, I mean swing the bat. Just like they've done. It's like they did all weekend against Baltimore. They're up 3-2, 4-2 going in the ninth. They put up a 3 spot. They win 7-2. They go up 4-3. Well, they need more. They go up 6-3. They still needed more. They go up 8-3 because Josh Smith came in and gave up 3. And they went 8-6. They can swing the bat. They can take advantage of these bad bullpens. They can separate themselves. And they can get right back into this thing.
Okay, we talk about, taking care of these bad bullpens. I mean, if they can go, they can have a 3-0 lead. And then they'll have a guy like Porcello go and give them 7 innings. Scoreless, and then completely cough it up in 2 innings.
Well, that's what I mean.
Even with a bad bullpen,
right,
if their bullpen is bad.
You're up 3-0. Make it 5-0.
Yeah, easier said than done.
I know,
right?
But their offense, that's what I'm saying. Their offense needs to add on. They need to add on. Their bullpen is not, what did Alex say last night? Did we get that quote from last night? Because he said so you come out of a Baltimore series in which you sweep them, you get ready to play Minnesota, who's the best team in baseball, in game 1. Porcello goes 7, and all you have available is Brewer and Brazier, because Barnes, Workman, and Walden are all down?
Alec, you said before the game you didn't want to pitch Workman. Was there anybody else you were going to stay away from?
Sure. Yeah, that's, there were a lot of guys. A lot of red in my card. So oh, you saw it. So people think it's short. I think it's just limited because those guys, they got good stuff. You know, matchup-wise, Brew makes sense with a lot of those guys. And obviously, Brazier was fresh. So we went with him. But you know, sometimes I made the mistake saying short. And it's not short. It's just limited.
No, it's short. Because if you had another great like arm code. Out there, it's high code. Leverage arm, you know, maybe you go, you know, Barnes and pitcher X.
It's a clever
and
way.
You can stay away from Workman. Or yeah. You go Workman, pitcher X. You can stay away from Barnes. But you can't. You got to pitch both of those guys. You know, most, when they're available, they usually have to come in because that's all you
I
got.
I would say Cora's actually getting really good at this.
Well, it was just a clever way of not ripping the other guys that had to come in
really,
and pitch.
Because
that's all he did.
It's pretty obvious. I think everybody knows what the problem is. I know. That's my point. So every time there's an issue, he comes with another phrase, another reason why.
People think it's short. I think it's just limited.
You know, a bullpen by a committee. I think it's short. I think it's limited.
Ebs
it's all
flows.
Just code. It's all just code. And you see him when he talks to the media and they ask him an obvious question about the bullpen. He chuckles because he's like, all right, you know, they know that he's not going to bash him. So it's almost like. It's almost like this cat and mouse game. Okay, what is Cora going to come up this time to kind of explain why they're in this situation?
Yeah, but does anybody really...
He laughs about it.
Does anybody really believe, and I don't believe Alex believes this either, that they can go the rest of the regular season with the arms they have in the bullpen,
no.
even though they're shuttling people back and forth? So you look at the Yankees. They already made a move with another power hitter. They're going to add a starting pitcher as well and maybe more. They have the means to do it. Tampa Bay, you look at as a small market team, guess what? They've got the financial means right now to go out and add a couple of significant players. What do you have? What are you going to add? If you don't close down that bullpen,
Steven Wright's coming back. Evaldi's going to be back.
What is Steve?
Didn't Brian Johnson pitch the other day? He was back. I mean, he looks decent.
So Steven Wright is one of your bullpen guys, other than using him when in the fifth, sixth inning when your starter
he can be
falters.
A long relief guy.
Okay, that's what he is.
Sure.
So how does that help you?
Well,
they're not
going to
use him as a starter.
No, well, let me ask you this. Do you think they're all in on winning the World Series?
Yes.
Do you think they're all in on going back-to-back? Because that's what it felt like after they won the first one.
Yeah, but we know they're
going to do it their way, though.
Okay,
they're going to do it like, you know, we're going to identify maybe one reliever and we're going to go get him at some point. They're going to have to.
Okay, because that was my issue. All right, so fine. So if they're all in, they know. We know Alex knows that they don't have enough. They need another arm. It, flat out, they're not going to get out of the first round. They may not even get the wild card spot, okay, if they don't get another arm. So if we're all convinced that they're all in, then you know they're going to do something. Now, I don't know who ends up leaving or who ends up getting cut or whatever or traded, but something's going to happen.
Well, I don't think it matters in the bullpen because you have enough of guys that if you lost them tomorrow, they fell off the wheel tomorrow, you're okay. The fact is you need upgrades in that bullpen. One, possibly two. That's what you need.
Or is it just, do they just assume, listen, we know it's going to be a bumpy ride getting to the playoffs. But once we get to the playoffs, we'll shorten our bullpen bench, and we'll use some of our starters, and we'll win that play-in game.
There's still a very good chance. You know, you could be sitting here, and you know they get that second wild card. They're in a one-game play-in and sale deals, and all of a sudden they're in a five-game series, and they're in the postseason, and they go back to what they were doing, and it's sort of like everybody's all worried about our season. Meanwhile, here we are, so we don't have home field. Okay, we don't have home field. But we've gone about it our way, and now we're in the postseason. We feel good. You know, Evaldi's been down for the first half of the season. His arm's fresh. He's going to be a long guy out of the bullpen. You know, so
well you hope.
Yeah, they could all sit back in October and laugh. Like, you guys kept questioning it all year long, just
bullpen,
like the year before.
Here we go again.
Right. When are you ever going to learn?
Dude, trust us.
When are you ever going to learn? Right. I mean, they can do it all they want, but all I know is I see a lot of 4A arms up there right now. I see a lot of Josh Smiths of the world and Travis Lakins, and as good as Schwarren's been throwing the ball.
Schwarren.
Exactly. Colton Brewers, you know, Bobby Pointers, Josh Taylors. You're seeing a lot of 4A guys. I love that Velasquez is back, and they've like, oh, bullpen's getting solidified. Really? Velasquez is a throwaway long guy. I'd rather have Walden as my long guy than him.
Well, maybe they're taking the Kyrie Irving approach to the regular season. It's a burden. Just get me, because how many of those guys, all that list of arms that you talked about, how many of those guys would make a playoff roster?
Well, that's the whole point. How many of these guys you're relying on were actually on the playoff roster? Barnes and Brazier. And Brazier's taking a step back. Now, I don't know with the bereavement thing. I don't know what happened.
Well,
maybe this
died.
Is something that's been on his head. I don't know. You know,
wait,
his
is
mind.
That wait to label it bereavement? Don't you kind of have to have somebody die?
I don't think anybody died though, right?
I'm so, not so, so sure. Or it could be a family
somebody
emergency.
Was sick. Somebody could be sick.
You know, so there could be something weighing on his mind. Maybe that's why you're not seeing Ryan Brazier. I have no clue.
He's dead.
But you need like Brazier needs to go back to what he was last year to be a lockdown guy. And if you got Brazier, Barnes, and Workman, all right, maybe you can maybe work this thing. But it's not the postseason. As we've seen, guys are down before big games. We've seen it. Remember that doubleheader against Detroit? They had an off day the day before because of rain. And they had a doubleheader, and they had everybody down and an off day the day before. So it's you can't just keep rolling out Barnes, Brazier, and Workman like it's the postseason. You've got to give these guys a rest because Barnes, who's your best, he might be garbage in August. So you got to protect him. And when you protect him, what do? Josh Smith closes. Colton Brewer gets the eighth. I mean, you leave that game, you're giggling because how the hell did that happen?
Yeah,
I don't know
we
got out of it, though.
Well, thank God
it's a good W.
So for the fact there's so many teams tanking.
So none of us are really impressed that they've won six in a row.
No,
last night was good.
Last night was huge.
That Minnesota team, that's one of the best offenses in the major leagues right now. They're hitting home runs left and right. 20 consecutive games with a home run.
And that kid in the mound too, Berrio said you got their ace and you got a good lineup. That was a great one.
So that guy gave up one run in the first inning, went eight innings, gets pulled.
Retired 17 in a row, didn't he? Something
it's amazing.
Like that. It was unbelievable.
Get that guy.
Oh, Berrio, get him.
Is it that easy?
Steve,
did I just say get that guy?
Steve is in Connecticut. Hey, Steve.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
What's up, Steve?
So, my point, really quick. I think we should go try and get Baumgartner. I think that we can maybe put a package, maybe Dahlbeck, Hernandez, Mata, Cassis. You know, we got some good players in our farm system. I think Dombrowski is going to make a move to strengthen the bullpen. Strengthen the starting pitching. I don't think we can strengthen the bullpen. I don't think we're going to be able to do it. So maybe we'll go out get that good starting pitcher that the Yankees want and just nab him before they get him.
Yeah, I don't. I think the asking price for a starting pitcher is obviously always a lot more than a reliever, correct? So it's those guys you just mentioned. San Fran's giving up Madison Bumgarner. They don't want a lot of fringe prospects that maybe found their stroke in the month of May. You know what I mean? And that's what I think you have. The people are going to be wanting to get Madison Bumgarner. They're going to be going after some of the top prospects in the game or young players. And, you know, you got guys, like some of the guys you mentioned, was it Cassis? It's like, okay, in month of April, he hit a buck. Month of May, he found his stroke. Like, if I'm dealing Bumgarner, I want surefire thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I don't want.
Okay. What about Chavis? Do you think he's produced enough?
I would have dealt Chavis 3 weeks ago. Maybe? I would have dealt him 3 weeks ago. Marco Hernandez, put him at second. But you need Pierce back. You need Moreland back. Now, Chavis is back swinging it. How many fastballs does he hit?
It's not fastballs that he's hitting.
What's
right
he
now.
Hitting?
He's hitting sliders. He's hitting curveballs. He's
dumb.
Hitting other stuff. Yeah.
Dumb teams.
Yeah, other teams have not figured it out.
Stupid teams, smart teams.
Yeah.
Stupid teams get strike one, throw a slider, and he launches.
Yeah.
Stupid teams get, you know, 1-0 and try to throw a curveball, get him out in front, and he launches, or a line drive to left. Smart teams don't bother. They still throw him fastball.
I'm just saying.
Okay. People keep telling me he's hot now. And every time I watch him hit a rocket or a homer, slider, curveball, dumb. But, hey, keep doing it.
So would you do that, though? Would you look at it, get a starter, and then Evaldi becomes that guy in the pen?
That worries me. Healthy arm every fifth day, I think, is easier than trying to get up 3 out of 5 days.
Except they're saying just the opposite right now about Stephen Wright with his knee. Right? They're saying he would be better served by coming out of the bullpen.
Well,
as
knee
opposed
is
to
different,
start.
Right? Wear and tear.
Yeah.
Like going out there 5 innings, 6 innings, he gets tired. It starts to ache. But an elbow,
just slowly cherry pick his way through the regular season.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like an elbow, it's like, hey, you know, you get up. Oh, we don't need you. All right, well, good. I just threw 25 pitches in the pen to get hot. So now, okay, I'm going to get up the next day. I think if you got a sore elbow, I think it's probably more wear and tear trying to pitch three out of 5 days than it is once every five. Knee's different, though.
Yeah.
You know,
but they've got to resolve that problem with the bullpen. I'm sorry. I don't think they can get to the postseason. And I know we saw it last year, and they all laughed at all of us. And at our expense, they were right. They were able to jury-rig it with starters and not only get through the whole thing, but win the whole damn thing. I just don't see how
get
you
the
get...
boats ready.
Exactly. I don't see how you get there. And there's still seven games out in the loss column.
Meanwhile,
right
you
now.
Watch. All-star break, they're going to be a game out or tied for first. I'm calling it. They will
win. That's ambitious.
Yeah, and then at the All-Star break, you'll be hearing everybody doubted us, and after all the start, look where we are, first half of the season. We're a game out.
Duck boats. And if they're that cocky and they don't go out and get themselves bullpen help, good luck to them.
Duck boats.
Because in the second half of the season, do you not think the Yankees will be better when they get Judge back and Stanton back?
Oh, I know.
When they go out and get a starting pitcher? Their rotation is a problem.
Stanton's back tonight.
Yeah.
Judge will be back soon.
Yeah.
Do you know at the end, I don't know what the hell they were doing with the schedule-wise, but the last week or 10 days of July going into the first week of August, they have 14 straight games against New York and Tampa. That's it. 14 straight games.
Oh, during that stretch?
That's it. That's the only two teams they play.
For 2 weeks.
14 straight games.
Wow. Could
they
be,
play
could
New
be
York
determined right there.
And Tampa. I would think it would.
Yeah.
14 straight.
Right.
There's no Baltimore, Detroit, Toronto mixed in.
And that's shortly after the All-Star break.
Right at the end of July into the first week of August. 14 straight games. 7 versus Tampa, 7 versus the Yankees. That's insane.
Yeah, but for the Red Sox to make up all this ground, and you're right, looking at the schedule, after you get through Minnesota, it's fairly easy. You're basically telling me the Yankees and Tampa Bay are going to go on losing streaks. I think the Yankees just went through their worst period.
The deadline? Are you talking about before the...
Yes, before the All-Star
break. Well, I'm just looking. Listen, they got Tampa for two more, the Yankees. Right. They got 4 with Houston.
Yeah, they won last night.
They got 3 with Toronto. They got 2 with New York, 2 with the Mets, 4 with Tampa. I'm just talking about schedule-wise. And Toronto's, Tampa's even worse. They got to go out to Oakland, out to Minnesota. They come back and play Texas. Then they got 4 games set with the Yankees. The Yankees might... Someone's coming back. Either the Yankees dominate Tampa, and you're going to be ahead of Tampa by the time the All-Star break rolls around. Something's going to happen. Hopefully they split and you just keep winning.
Well, I hope they don't get overconfident because they need help right now. The Yankees and Tampa will go and get help. Here's John. Hello, John.
Hey, boys. So I don't think the 6-game winning streak is as impressive as some of the things they've done during the winning streak. Like yesterday's start by Porcello, being able to beat one of the hottest teams of the league by holding them to 0 runs. Coming back from a 6-0 deficit when Price basically sucked, and getting a W on a Chris Sale start. That's pretty big. They haven't been able to do that basically at all this season. And I think Cora deserves a lot of the credit for this turning this team around. I have a lot of confidence in him, and I think they're going to be there at the end of the season. I think that 14-game streak's make or break. They could even be in first place by the end of the season.
No, see, everybody's all fired up over because of yesterday's game. You know,
yesterday's game was legit.
No, it was, and okay, so fine,
Red Sox.
But I'm not surprised. Oh yeah, they're gonna make it now. Tomorrow will be something different.
And he is right.
Well, they should be there.
And at Price start, they got back into the game. But let's look at who they were playing. That's the other thing. What's the temperature tonight in Minneapolis? Because it's cold again.
Cold and rainy.
Is David Price gonna have problems? It's gonna be.
Hey, do they have a roof over Target Field?
No.
No.
Why in the world do they, now, out of
they
all
used
the
to.
Places, I, so they build a new stadium,
yeah.
And there's no roof over it.
Mm-hmm.
Do they just assume they're never going to be in the playoffs? Is that like, was that their idea? Because, I know Boston, Northeast,
you know,
weather
the other
sucks.
Thing, too, did you happen to see that
makes
game?
No
did
sense.
Did you see the game last night? Like, the 7th inning, Porcello's out there, and this guy, this crone gets up. Hits a ball to, like, dead center field. Just to the right of, dead center.
High
and it
wall.
Hits that wall, and I'm like, 1-0. It's in play. Yeah. They have like a green monster in center field.
It's
what
weird.
What the hell do you got to do to hit that ball out?
That ball goes like 4 feet to the left. It's a home run.
I mean, how do you put a wall that big?
It's weird.
At 420, whatever, 410, whatever it is.
It's like the people are in the second deck above it.
I mean, you got to hit ball 460 to get it out of there.
I had the same reaction. As a matter of fact, if you go back and look at that, I think it was Jackie Bradley Jr. out there. I think he thought it was a home run.
He did think it was a home run.
He just turned on it and let it go.
I mean, right
and
field.
And then reacted as it came
right
off
field,
the wall.
I get it. Right field, they've got that other box, you know, a big right field, left field, whatever. They've got one that goes from the right field ball to dead center. And it's in play.
You want to pimp a home run?
That's how is that ball in play? How's that ball not a home run?
You're right, though, Glenn. Bradley thought it was a
home run.
Because he plays it off the wall, and he just nonchalantly throws it in. And he's like, holy crap, I better throw this in. It only gave up a double.
I mean, Boston's got that thing in center field, too, but it's, what, 379 in left field, right? Yeah. Imagine at that 420 triangle. I guess they do have it in center field, too. But I just thought that wall looked enormous.
Yeah, it looks
strange.
And
I'm like, I can't believe that ball's in play. Yeah. How's that not a home run?
Yeah. It looks strange.
The wall just got 10 feet
high. Yeah, you're right.
It out there.
You're right.
We're talking about NBA players. What the hell's going on in the NBA? So you've already heard the story today that Al Horford has opted out, and it made sense, $30.1 million for this next year. He's opted out. Why? Mm. Because he's not going to make more next year than $30.1 million. He's actually going to make less, but what it will do is it will put him in a position where he can get a multi-year deal and not have to worry about year to year to year. So he'll end up getting 3 years, $70 million, something along those lines. Question is, does he do the deal with the Celtics? They apparently want to do the deal. Or does he suddenly get the urge to go and try to win that ring? That's eluded him through his entire career. He's 33 going on 34. And if he does that, I think there'd be interested teams. But you look at players out there that are opting out and declining these player option. Harrison Barnes, decent player.
You got to help me explain this one.
Decent player, okay? He's a decent player. I say that again. Sacramento Kings forward. He declines a $25.1 million player option to become an unrestricted free agent.
He must know something.
Now, right. The only reason he's opting out, because your agent is sitting there telling you, no, Harrison, you are not doing anything. You're going to
legal tampering session.
$25 million, and I'm going to get my take out of it. He knows he's going to get more money than $25.1 million. He's in a different situation than Horford is. Horford's at the end of his career. He doesn't need the big annual money. He needs the security to tie him up for the next 3 years because it becomes more difficult to play when you're older. This guy's 27 years old. Somebody is going to pay Harrison Barnes. Is Harrison Barnes going to make a difference in any team's championship fortunes?
Somebody's going to play Al Horford $60, $70 million for 3 years. Right. I mean, is that worth it?
Al's a better. I mean, Al brings more to the team.
In general, like it's amazing them. I just feel like that's just the market, and that's just what it is. So, I mean, I remember when Evan Turner left and signed with Portland,
$17 million a year, like, 5 years or something
for the
like
mid-range jump shot.
Yeah,
coming off the bench.
Yeah. See, Barnes is turning 25 down.
He's turning $25.1 million.
25.
Sick. It's a sick.
But
amount
he's only 26. He's not turned down like 15 or 17. Like 17, okay, I get it, but. So he's going to go 30? Someone's going to give him 30.
Somebody's going to give him more money per year, apparently, Lucas. Think about it. He could hold out, and he could take that money, and then at 28 go out into the free agency market.
15 and 5? What is he? Harrison Barnes.
Something like
that. Shooter, whatever.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Good player, but...
But...
25 million.
Well, you know,
he's got some championship pedigree in the past, too, so maybe they're looking at that. I don't know. I think...
So, I say, Tyler, what do you think? See, I say there's, I mean, obviously, somebody's telling him something. We just feel like, all right, he's got more money somewhere else.
Well, somebody's going to pay him more money.
Well, according to the Sacramento Bee, they are
reporting. Oh, Glenn, that's your
get
paper.
The Bee out,
the
baby.
Sacramento Bee reports this may be a play for salary reasons as they're close to a max level slot. So, if Harrison gives up a couple million dollars, that could bring in a higher tier player.
Go.
To Sacramento.
Sacramento Bee is never wrong.
So wait a minute.
So, he's opting out to take less money?
The rework his contract.
They
so
could probably give him more security, a longer deal for
so
less money like Al is.
It's like Al.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a team player.
So what they do is they open up. Yeah, they can operate
so
right now.
So he's not going anywhere.
And then since, they probably have his bird's rights, we could look that up. They can pay him even if they go over the cap number. Which they can do with Al, too. They
so,
can go
so, Al, so Al's
he's
not going anywhere.
I don't think
Al's a loyalist.
So.
He's not going anywhere. Even though, here's the thing. And this is why, I mean, he'll be loved even more now. The fact that he probably would have an opportunity, yes, to sign with a team because what he brings is pretty special. But not at $30 million a year. There's no way.
Well, the other thing is if they get him at 22, 23, whatever it might be, we talked to Chris Mannix yesterday. And he talked about, where they are in the salary cap. And it's really never going to, get much better because guys like Jaylen and Tatum, they're going to want more money. These guys are going to want more money. So they're going to need some contracts that are going to be in that range to potentially trade. So to me, it's like, yeah, you need Al, obviously, for what he brings, but you also need that contract maybe in 2 years.
Especially when you have an expiring contract. When it gets down to that last year.
Last year, $23 million, expiring deal. Yeah.
Team will look at it and say, Horford could come in and help us out for 1 year, and then we get him off the books at the end of the year, and we move on. So it makes sense. But I do believe a lot of people are getting confused by like the cap situation. Like the Celtics have all of this money to play with.
They signed back Al. Yeah. They have no money.
Right. And they really don't. So, and you really don't have money until, and we've seen it. Brooklyn has been able to do it. The Knicks have been able to do it. The Clippers have done it. The Lakers were able to do it. They opened up massive cap spots so that they can get max contract players. And those are the only guys that really make that much difference in your team, don't they? If you're a championship-driven team, you don't get there until you get one of these guys. We just saw Kawhi Leonard win it for the Toronto Raptors.
Right, right.
So, but they don't have that luxury. So they're going to nickel and dime and play with players. Mm-hmm. And you can get Bradley Beal. Would that be something if they gave up like
Why are you talking about Bradley Beal? People I'm just saying Celtics fans calling every day how they don't want to trade Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis. And all of a sudden, Bradley Beal's name's in here, and you're reading reports about, well, yeah, I mean, for Beal, it'd be like Tatum, Smart, and picks. Or Jalen Smart and picks. And I'm like, hold on. I was all for trading Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis. I'm not willing to do that for Bradley Beal.
Well, because
and he's a nice player, but come on.
Because the best-looking girl, you started with the best-looking girl at the prom, then you worked your way down, and you realize that less attractive girl at the prom now knows you're desperate.
Very sexy.
Now it's going to cost you.
So because John Wall gets hurt, he takes more shots, he scores more points, he's
his
a
numbers,
much better player.
Very deceiving. Inflated numbers, you're right. It looks bad. Here's the other one about Bradley Beal. I don't think I want to trade for anybody on the Washington Wizards. Has there been a more dysfunctional team in the NBA over the last 10 years than the Washington Wizards?
They should go back to the Washington Bulls.
When you look at the talent at the beginning of the year, you sit there and say, they're pretty good. I mean, a terrific backcourt with Beal and Wall. And granted, Wall's had some injury issues, but they always underachieve. And to me, there's something missing there. Why do I want to bring that into my team, that culture into my team? I don't want anything to do with that. All right, we get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937, right here on OMF this hour, being brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
I just think he was held back by Kyrie. I really do. I feel like Kyrie treated Tatum like LeBron treated Kyrie to some extent. You're my little brother. This is where you're going to be. We're not going to let you spread your wings too much. We'll let you spread them. But you're still a piece of it. If Tatum were allowed, and he will be this year, we're going to see. I mean, this kid is going to be an NBA, a perennial all-star in this league. Now, the big question I have, who's going to be the point guard? Rozier, Smart, whatever, both. Are they good enough? You need somebody still at that point guard spot to make things easier for Jason Tatum.
Jeff Goodman, he was on NBC Sports Boston talking about that. A perennial all-star. One thing I will say, and I could be wrong on this, but reading stuff with Jeff Goodman in the past, I don't think he was ever a Kyrie fan. So that might be, and he took a little
I know he doesn't like
there.
Rondo.
Yeah, and he doesn't like Rondo.
he doesn't like Rondo.
But I would
so
say,
what does that have to do with, so wait, so
he was talking about Jason Tatum.
No, I know.
Taking him under his wing and
treating
him. Well, the way he was saying it, he was treating him the same way he did with LeBron. But I would say this, he's got to be better than what Jeff is saying. If you're banking on him being the face of your organization, he's got to be better than just an all-star. He's got to be one of the superstars in the game. And I'm not sure this kid's going to be that. I think he'll make some all-star teams. But I think there are too many flaws still to his game. Now, the good thing is he's relatively young, and he could fix a lot of those things. But I mentioned this isolation numbers, which are poor. He's not a real good defender. The other kid, Jaylen Brown, is a much better defender. He also has trouble sometimes taking the ball to the hole and loses it. Maybe that's just lack of confidence. And, oh, yeah, he doesn't get to the free throw line much. So last year he averaged, what, 15.7 points a game. And I've heard people say, well, I think he can average 26 points a game in the NBA, 27. Well, he better be getting to the free throw line, because how the hell do you think James Harden gets all of those points? How do you think guys get 30, 35 points in those games? They go to the free throw line 12, 15 times.
See,
right, Giannis?
I still stick by it. We had this. I argued with him last night because he was talking about Tatum. And oh, I still think Jaylen Brown is going to be a better player in this league.
Might be.
You know, you know, he talked about he can't shoot. He said Jaylen can't shoot. Maybe not like Tatum, but it's not like his shot is broken. We're not talking about Marcus Smart. You mentioned it during the break, that corner three from Jaylen Brown. I think
money in the
shooting has improved. The free throw shooting got better last year as the season went on. I think we fall in love with Jason Tatum's stroke. It's beautiful. Shot's beautiful. You know what I mean? It just looks...
It looks great.
Beautiful.
Yes.
It's like Benintendi's swing. You know what I mean? It just looks awesome. And... But you take away as far as just that, and it's Jaylen takes it to the basket better. I think he's better in transition. Now, Goody was talking about, you know, Tatum's 3-point shooting in transition, and you'll see more of that. Defensively, I don't think it's close. I just think that there's a chance that Jaylen Brown is actually the guy next year that shines, that takes that big step forward. Tatum's still a good player,
but I
could see Jaylen taking a bigger
step. I think, you know, Brown has matured as an overall just basketball player as far as just everything that he's capable
of
doing.
And there's something with him. What was it? Didn't he just, when they were out of it, didn't he just trying to dunk on Giannis?
He just, you know, he's done,
and it's just, there's something there with him that I like.
Well, maybe it was because he was trying to prove something last year specifically based on how they were using him, whether they were starting him or not. And just, you know, accepting his role, sending a message to the other guys. When you talk about leaders, I asked you, yes, you said Marcus Smart. Jaylen Brown's the type of guy that would end up being your leader vocally, not only vocally, but by example.
Well, Lou's right about the aesthetics of Tatum's game. I can't tell you how many people has said to me, did you see that dunk he had on LeBron? I said, that was the year ago. In the postseason, all right? I think people look at those specific things. I'm looking overall at the numbers in his game. He's averaging 15.7 points a game. He needs to be a superstar. You don't need just an all-star. The Wizards get all-stars. You need to have a superstar if you are top five, top 10 player, if you're going to compete for a championship. Is he going to be the guy? I'm not sure he's going to be the guy. I'm not sure he's capable of doing it, because he's going to have to almost double his point production from 15 to high 20s. How does he do that without going to the free throw line? He pulls up now and he takes that little jumper, that mid-range jumper, because he's afraid to take it to the line and go to that free throw line, I think. Take the contact.
Well, I think everybody's game is going to look a lot different.
Yeah, no, that's
everybody's
one thing
game is going to look different.
I think is that I'm looking forward to seeing. You know, okay, here we go. It's yours now. I know what the team is.
Got the kids again, boy.
Oh, yeah, no, I know what the team is. But this is why I say, like, I understand, you know, because I think there's some intrigue of now, you know, you're going to see year three, year four of these two players. You know, no Kyrie. You know, you have a better understanding of what Tatum and Brown are, I think. You know, you're going to see them more. And I think when it comes to Jaylen Brown, I really do believe, you know, we always talk about the last thing you see. And game seven against Cleveland, that changed the whole offseason. You know, Tatum went nuts. You know, he put up 24 points in game seven. Jaylen Brown was 5-for-18. So the entire summer, we kept talking about why Tatum's better than Brown.
Off one
and
game.
And it's not even close.
One game.
We forgot that Tatum, Jaylen the night before in Cleveland went for like 28. On the road, by the way. You know, and then 25 in Cleveland on game four on the road, by the way.
So if you're wondering whether
but
this game is going to be...
game went the other way. So
if you're wondering if this game is going to be good, if this team is going to be good or not, look at those numbers. Look at Jaylen. Look at his point total. Look at Tatum. Look at a mentally strong Gordon Hayward. Look at a Terry Rozier, who is basically owning that starting point guard position. And then you have a couple of role players thrown in there with Marcus Smart, of course. But why couldn't they be the same thing they were 2 years ago?
I'm not
basically be the same. They should be better based on the fact that they're all older.
That Gordon Hayward is going to be comfortable, is going to be good? Because I do think it's more mental than it was physical.
I do too.
So what are they going to do? Are they going to start Jalen, Tatum, and Hayward? 2, 3, 4?
Yes, Hayward is starting.
At the 4?
Hey, I don't know what position he's starting, but you think they're going to put him on the bench again?
On the 4? Who plays four?
I don't care.
Positionless?
Positionless basketball.
Okay, so
that's
they got
Brad
two bigs. Davis. They got two bigs.
Hey, everyone just get outside the three-point line. Okay, ball movement. Get to the basket. Kick it out. Look for your shot. Kick it out. Look for your shot. Big drive to the basket. Bring it back in.
My point is that with Jalen and Tatum, I still think you're going to see a similar Gordon Hayward. Like, I'm sorry. I missed my first couple. Sorry. I know you guys got to shoot, too.
I don't know. I think
you're going to start all three of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. What is your option? You're to keep what is Hayward making this year? Like $30+ million? No, especially with Kyrie Irving
gone.
I'm
not so sure you can. I think two of them might be starting. I don't know. Maybe
you're going to start.
You're going really small.
Hayward, Brown, Tatum Rozier, and Horford.
But guys, if we're talking about a rebuilding period here over the next few years, somebody's got to emerge as your superstar. And looking at Jason Tatum averaged 31 minutes a game, okay? Look at a guy like Steph Curry, superstar in the game, right? Superstar, 33, two more minutes. He's taking 12 threes a game. Your guy, Tatum, is taking 3-4 a game, okay? Curry's getting to the free throw line. He's making all those free throws. Your guy, Tatum, and again, young, I get it, but can he emerge to become that superstar? I don't think he goes to the free throw line enough. I think you're looking at 15.7 points right now. He may max out at about 19 or 20. That may be it. That's not superstar territory, guys. That is a really good player who can make some all-star teams, but he's not going to be that superstar that leads you to a championship. You need to get that superstar.
See, Hayward is going to end up being your superstar. And he's going to, and just like you said yesterday, he's going to have a great year. He's going to opt out. He's going to go sign somewhere else for more money.
I think he's going to have a terrific year.
I don't see why he wouldn't. I mean, that first year is notoriously the worst for an injury of that magnitude. 1 year off to rehab, second year is just meant. I mean, I'm surprised it took him so long. Actually, it didn't happen at all.
So I'm not saying that he has to be Steph Curry right now, but if we're looking at superstars that win championships, Tatum has got to get to that level. So Brown, and I don't think Brown can do that either, Lou. I don't think he can be that superstar, but I think you're right. I think because he brings more skill to the table in different departments, he can be a better all-around player. So you tell me, can you win having a couple guys that are all-stars or close to all-stars, or maybe they get into the all-star team a couple of times, 3-4 times or whatever. Maybe they're not perennial every single year. The guys that get in every single year are your guaranteed superstars. Giannis is going to get into the all-star team every single year for the rest of his career. Steph Curry goes every single year.
So who do you think is most likely to be an all-star from this team? Where is that now?
Gordon Hayward. Next year, you're right.
Yeah, it's going to be him.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. But the other players you have on the team are role players. Smart's not one of these guys that can do any of this. They're all role players. So that's why I say there's so much pressure with no Kyrie here and no Davis and working that, making those deals. Now it's suddenly on Jason Tatum to be a superstar. Far too much pressure. I'm not sure he's capable of ever reaching those heights. Really. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin's in Boston. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
I wanted to talk about, you've been talking for the last few days about Jason Tatum having to be that superstar for the Celtics to be great. You know, if you go back to last year, what happened with him only taking 3 three-pointers in a game? You look at Kyrie. Kyrie would run up the board and he would just huck up a three and not pass the ball. So how can you shoot more than three-pointers in a game when you're left with that? So I'm thinking that what's going to happen is Rozier is going to be able to help pass the ball a little bit better, and he's actually going to be able to take those threes and become a great player. You do not need a superstar to win. You need a whole team of great players. And
no, that's not true.
Kevin, what's your proof? Because it sounds nice. That's a nice statement to say, but why did Toronto win? Nice players.
All right, they got a superstar.
All right, why does Golden State? Why did they win? They have role players, nice players?
But they don't have that next year.
Cleveland. Why did Cleveland win? Did they have nice players or did they have LeBron? Like, it's a nice thing to say, but it's factually incorrect to say the teams, you can win with just good players. No, teams that win, win with the superstar.
If you go back to the Spurs before when Kawhi first came in the league,
great players,
great defensive
superstars. Numerous superstars.
Not superstars. Not at the time.
Tim Duncan! Are you kidding me? One of the all-time great players in the history of the game.
You got to go back to like the Detroit Pistons with Rasheed Wallace. Kevin, that's not true when you know it. Like it, you need the superstar. You need a couple of them.
Well, Isaiah Thomas, when he was here, and
we
went pretty far with Isaiah. He wasn't a superstar.
What'd you win?
You
went just as far without him the year after.
Right.
You went just as far without him.
No, but you're talking about winning champion. I mean, you're winning a championship, or you're talking about winning a couple rounds in the playoffs? So there's a huge difference, isn't
there? Big difference. And Isaiah got you pretty deep because he was averaging 29 points a game. Does anybody think that Jason Tatum is going to get to the point where he can give you 29 points a game? I don't see it, guys. I think he's going to be a good player. I don't think his game's going to fall apart. I think he's going to get better. No question. But you need
Isaiah Thomas that year was a star.
Star. He was. That's why you got that far.
He played like a star.
MVP, but, top five MVP.
But look at the stars in the game. They're averaging high 20s and 30 points a game.
You just look at the box score, though, Glenn.
Apparently I do.
You don't watch the game, Glenn.
And by the way.
Oh, you just think good players score points?
And by the way.
Whatever.
Jason Tatum took a lot of shots last year. He did. Too many mid-range jumpers. He had the second most shots of any guy on this team. All right, at 31 minutes. And I'm sorry, one of these guys, if you're going to be in the mix to win a championship.
This is what we're back to, though.
You need a superstar.
You realize this now, right?
Yes.
This is what we're back to.
Yeah.
That you can build through the draft. This is where we're at now.
Oh, man.
This is where we were five years ago.
We're going to abolish the draft.
This is the reality of the Boston Celtics. Build through the draft, and you know, you don't need a star. You can just have some good players, and you can win, and the young kid can develop.
No.
I thought we were done with this a couple years ago when they got Kyrie and things were moving in the right direction. We're right back there again with these
phone
calls.
Danny Ainge will never have any criticism whatsoever.
He has
a job for life.
I'm telling you, you're wasting your time if you actually think you can build a team of pretty good players and that you can win a championship. You need a superstar. And I think what people have done in the last few days, haven't they, is now that Kyrie is gone and they weren't able to get Anthony Davis, everybody pointed the finger and said, we've got our guy. We got Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum can't just develop into a good player. He's got to be a superstar for this to work. And I'm sorry. I don't see it. We're going to abolish the draft anyway. Arnovitz is going to abolish the draft, and because the players are
have a say in where they go.
There's too much pressure on the players right now, and the commissioner told us that, right? It's unfair right now. So we've got to back.
They're
off.
Suffering. No. The word is they're really unhappy. I mean, they're really, really unhappy.
Can you imagine?
I just thought they were just upset for a day, but they're really unhappy.
Can you imagine the chaos that we would have? If they had no NBA draft, if this guy got his way and there was no NBA draft and players could go wherever they want, do we think that Boston would be one of those spots that everybody would want to go to?
No. You'd probably get the 15th, the 20th best player in college and convince him to sign.
I don't think we would fare too well in that one. This portion of the program has been brought to you by Eagle Bank. We get last call next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I'm not thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch like Tom.
Where'd you get a f***ing ass?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
What do you got for Last Call?
Show brought to you by Cars for Kids. Don't make your car.
Turn your mic off.
Help a child today. Last call. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. We lost another one.
I'll tell you what. Hold on a second. Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. I still press the wrong damn button.
You press the wrong button.
All the time.
So everyone trying to enjoy the commercials had to listen to you talking over it.
It was quick.
You want a big sign next to the button?
Honestly,
so you know?
It says off. On. We got the last call.
Which one are you getting confused by?
We got for last call.
We lost another guy down in the Dominican Republic at one of these resorts. This is the ninth American to have died while staying at one of those resorts under mysterious circumstances. You know, they go to the minibar and then bad things happen. So the boys in the morning, Mutt and Callahan and the crew, they went down to Connecticut this morning. And I don't know, maybe they're trying to get rid of a couple of the guys on the crew because Ken Laird out of nowhere started puking his brains out.
Game two of the three-game series tonight with the Red Sox. Oh, man.
You okay there?
Oh, no.
Can you? Ken just threw up.
Is he throwing up?
That IPA is coming up here.
Zach Sanford.
All right.
Okay.
And here's what's trending now.
I'm turning this way.
Let me vomit some more.
Hold the railing.
More of Mutt and Callahan coming up.
Oh, my. Was he really throwing up?
Did he really throw up?
Yeah, he threw up.
During the trending?
Yeah, you know what's going on, don't you? You just know there's something going on, and Mutt's finally getting pissed off to the point
where... Well, it was good news, actually, because Curtis managed to take over for the trend.
And the Cowboys and... beat the Redskins 1916
in Monday Night Football. A little shaky on the
track. I miss drunk Curtis.
But Mutt's getting pissed off. I think what he's doing is he figured, hey, listen, if they can do it in the Dominican, I can wipe out my crew as well. He gets so pissed today, he had to be bleeped.
If PGA Tour golfers are allowed to pick what time they get on the range and the putting green,
I didn't say
today at Travelers.
See, I'm fine if you want to mock me. I did not ask that. I said, can they go out and on the course?
No, you said can they go out pointing out to the practice?
No,
range.
I said go out to
can
the.
Can they go out whenever they want?
Whatever. It's not worth fighting over if you're going to make.
Ooh,
sorry.
Oh,
dump that.
Sorry, dump that.
I did not say that.
You know what the problem is? You know what? I get why.
What's going on?
Mutt will take it from Jerry. He'll take it from Ken. But what he refuses to take any lip from Curtis.
Oh, really?
Right? He is the... Mutt, I think Mutt views Curtis as
go get
like
your
the
shine
same,
box?
No, as the bartender. You know the bartender from Tombstone?
Yes.
You know,
yes,
one outlaw taking all his crap, and then the bartender jumps in, and he smacks him. I ain't going to take no smack from no bartender.
No lip.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one right there. So I think that he thinks it's a little more personal when Curtis chimes in.
So
and
Mutt,
the rag boy.
Mutt got pissed, huh?
Smart. Yeah, and then he got pissed because they were talking about
you're probably right though, Chris.
Tipping people in the room in the
don't get me started.
In hotel room. Don't talk tipping again.
Don't get me started with that one.
He doesn't tip anyone.
On the Patriots coaching and front office.
Once again, Mutt cheaps out. You're not cheap. I've seen you. You bring your wad of cash. You didn't leave the maid. A dollar?
I did not.
Not a dollar.
I took a stand. Nope.
All the hair.
I didn't shower. Didn't use a towel. I got in the bed, out of the bed. I did nothing else in that room.
So what do you think? They leave the bed like that? $0. She has to make the bed.
$0.
And she's got to get all your hair out of it.
You didn't shower? I showered twice in that room. You didn't shower yesterday or today?
I have a set standard. If you stay in a room and don't shower, that's $0.
Okay,
shower
it's never zero. They have to clean.
A shower is, this is per day. Shower is $3.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
He's
you bump it up to $5 if you've done any sort of eating
serious.
Or drinking in the room. I have my own standard for this.
Wait,
if
you tip the little guy $20 and you tip the maid nothing?
If you've had relations in the room, it now goes to automatic $10
when you
that
went
day.
To Cumberland Farms,
I did none of those things.
Coffee,
relations
you
with
like
yourself?
Because I do that.
Hold
and
on a second.
Person does it.
First of all, I get the hairy part. I understand that.
I like Curtis. All that hair.
Again, it's the lip from the bartender that bugs Mutt the most. That's what it is.
But do you think he really has this like standard of $3
no,
for this,
$5
for that?
I do not. But you would you tip the cleaning lady if you spent one night in a random hotel?
I did
my
not.
Wife always nope. tries to.
I didn't.
Not for one night, though.
Why would you do that? That makes no sense.
Like if you're there for like
a
three,
resort?
4 nights.
Sure, different
week.
Situation. Now you're really having some
you're
hotel
there for the
sex.
Whole week. Yeah,
right.
you're
the whole week.
Yeah. But overnight, no, overnight.
No, overnight you don't have to.
Everybody's pissed. Mike Francesa is pissed because he's heard that OJ is not only on Twitter, but OJ's thinking of starting an app where he's going to charge you $8.99 a month.
I wouldn't go to his Twitter account for money.
Never.
If you paid me. I wouldn't go, okay?
Not
so,
at all.
Not under any... See, there's people who like car wrecks or think that everything is humorous. I have no interest in anything that man could say under any circumstances. I would have zero interest. I mean, the people he's going to attract... I would have less interest in. I really would. So to me, no. I would have zero. So would I have any, you know, will this show be giving you daily accounts of what OJ is talking about on his Twitter account? No.
Don't
You'll have to go elsewhere for those.
We're going elsewhere then.
Okay. But if you need to do that to do a show, hey, what can I tell you? I mean, to me, listen. OJ's got nothing to tell me that I want to hear.
I would like to stop playing Francesa.
He's
sound.
Basically saying
please.
I have no interest, and here's a 3-minute explanation about why I have no interest.
He misses it though. People love the car wreck. You know, they want to see the car.
And
went to my daughter Mia's graduation today. I'm happy to report the kids did a wonderful job speaking today. Everybody was great. There was no swearing or anything else. That's but nice. We found a preschool. Little promotion graduation in which a kid told the teacher to F off during the graduation.
Awesome.
Good afternoon, parents. Good afternoon, boys and girls.
Shut the f*** up.
Hey.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
You need to leave?
No, bitch.
Oh.
He's out.
What is that?
That's a bad graduation.
We actually waited this long to play that?
What? How old?
Are you kidding me?
Preschool.
Good afternoon, boys and girls. Shut the f*** up. Hey.
Nice. See, I thought he was talking to the...
You need to leave? No, bitch.
Okay. Oh. Wow.
Well, she was loud.
The parent just comes in. It just, he's tiny. He's 4 years old. You just grab him. Just take him and go.
Wow. He grabbed four?
Yeah.
Four
this video. Old. They grabbed him by the collar and yanked him out of the ceremony.
Oh, my Lord.
Smokes.
Well, the teacher was loud. Let's face it. It was loud.
I thought he was talking to the people who were loud. I didn't think he was cursing at the teacher until the teacher was like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, no, you want a piece of me?
No, thank you.
You need to leave? No, bitch.
Wow.
Little kids, when they curse, are so funny to me.
Preschool. What is happening to the
kids
world?
Who curse are
this
so funny.
This is preschool. All right, let's spin the old wheel and see who's coming in. 1 hour show today because we got a, what is it, a 7:10 pregame show? Something like that. Right. See who's on tonight.
Get the duck boats fired up. There will be a parade here sometime next week.
Mark James is here.
Everybody.
Mark James. Wow. How many stupid things do you think he can say in 1 hour?
There's a new
I got six, right? I got six.
Lou, you're a pro athlete. You're friends with Nomar Garciaparra, the last great shortstop the Red Sox have had.
He'll top this preschool. All right, boys, we'll see you all tomorrow.
Yeah.
2 a.m.
Right.
Get the F.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.